is not often heard with Gary Taylor and Mark Stockley.
Hello and welcome to Not Often Heard, the podcast. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And this is a show, or a pod, that we never thought we were going to have to do, did we?
We were convinced that it wouldn't come to this, weren't we?
No, that's it. We thought there would be a way. So, a statement was released yesterday from the EBU confirming that Eurovision 2020 has been cancelled. And everything pretty much seems is going to roll over to 2021. Rotterdam 2021 will be reopening. Maybe that needs to be the new slogan. Instead of open up, it'll be reopening.
Yeah, reopening or reopen up.
Reopen up. So, immediate reaction then was, you texted me, didn't you, in the afternoon? Because I think you'd seen something.
I'd seen it literally on Facebook.
Not long after the stories had broken. And yeah. I think we were both a little bit gutted, to say the least.
I wouldn't say as far as I cried, I shed a tear, but yeah, I was really upset. I was really gutted. Really gutted.
It was just because, and it's not just because our show talks a lot about it and we do a lot of activities around it. It's not that at all. It was just, I think, the shock that they actually pulled the plug and there wasn't any alternative given.
No. I mean, I think under the current circumstances that it was probably the right thing to do. But, you know, we did talk in the show on Sunday about other possible alternatives that they had, didn't we?
True. And we'll come on to them in a minute. And yeah, we just want to make it clear that we absolutely understand and respect the decision the EBU has made. It is the correct one to do. It keeps everybody safe. It stops large gatherings. And you know what? There are more important things than Eurovision happening in the world right now, aren't there?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So we completely respect the decision, the EBU. Please don't take this as us whinging and whining that they've cancelled Eurovision. We understand why and we appreciate that. And that's it. We're just going to kind of explore some of perhaps the options and what's happened, the fallout that's happened over the last day or so from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of what the alternatives were, we had talked about that on a regular show. So the option number one we thought was postpone the event, wasn't it, to a later time in the year?
Yes, maybe once the pandemic had slowed down a little bit, that maybe come, I don't know, July time, maybe August.
Yeah,
September.
Or a suggestion we thought perhaps was viable was you basically steal the junior Eurovision slot, which is November.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Because that's a planned in, I believe it's Poland this year who's hosting for the second time in a row, actually. So preparations were being made to stage an international song competition in a venue which is probably the same size, if not bigger, than some of the most recent Eurovision stages we've had. It really is big business, Junior Eurovision now. It's a huge show to rival its adult version. So that is booked in the calendar. You know, broadcasters are prepared for it. Preparations are being made. Could we have done something in Poland? Because that's all booked in. But the EBU have said they've done some FAQs, and when they were asked, "Well, why didn't you just postpone it?" they did say, "Everything's too uncertain. We can't, you know, just say right, we'll just do it in June. If things aren't back to normal in June, you know, if there's still aftershocks happening, you know, we can't guarantee that we could be able to do it even towards the end of the year. If say we did do it in November, for example, the winning broadcaster has less than 6 months then, if we want to stick to the original timeline and have Eurovision in May next year. Less than 6 months to secure a venue, the crew, organise, prep it, or they don't have the 12-month lead-in that a country normally has, and they thought that really wouldn't be fair on the winning broadcaster.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Another option would be to continue with the contest in Rotterdam in May, but just don't have the audience there, you know, construct the stage, rig it all up and everything, and just keep going.
I think the thinking behind not going for that was that there would still be too many people in attendance, wasn't there? All the delegations, the media, all the press and everything like that would still mean that there were far too many people in one place.
Exactly. Yeah, the audience, yes, they may be the largest part, but that does not stop hundreds, if not thousands, of people working behind the scenes and on the fringe of the show. So, yeah, I never thought that was a viable alternative, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I don't blame them. The only viable alternative I thought really was holding the show remotely and do a virtual one and have each country perform in a TV studio in the home broadcaster live vocals and satellite it in. And then we just do the scoring as normal.
It was a possibility. I think I might have read that they didn't feel like that would guarantee an even playing field. Is what I kind of like got from that all the different TV studios were different sizes, different equipment, different capabilities. So it wouldn't provide that even playing field that one central stage would and one venue.
Yeah, I think that they did say that they think it's in the DNA, I'm quoting here, the DNA of the Eurovision Song Contest is to bring delegations, artists and fans together in one place and provide an equal platform for all artists to compete together on the same stage and get the same opportunity to shine.
Mm.
So, yes, they very much saw it as level playing field. And as you said, different broadcasts have different resources. I still think something could have been done in terms of basically specifying, right, your studio must be no bigger than this size.
Yeah.
Green screen backdrop. We will insert video or whatever. Try and level that playing field. We have the technology to do it.
Yeah, it could. I think it could have been done. It's whether there was the time and the finances to organise all that, because it would have been what, about 6 or 7 weeks away.
Yes, and with more and more countries having to impose tighter restrictions, even getting the artist to come into the studio to perform that may be, you know, pushing it. You look at Italy, look at France. Mm. France, you need a permit to go out now if you're not shopping or something like that, I believe.
Yeah.
So we don't know what position we're going to be in come May. So I guess they were thinking, look, we could try and plan that, but who's to say we can actually do it? The situation, which I'm hearing so many times, is very fluid.
Do you know what word I'm hearing? Unprecedented, an awful lot.
It is. We are living in very, very strange times.
Mm.
So I can understand the alternatives, why they weren't used. I just perhaps wish we could have found a way. I mean, maybe even if they just said, well, let's just present the videos on the night, not vote. Let's just showcase. Yeah. I'm not sure. We are going to talk a little bit later about alternatives.
In
the show. So the focus now moves on really to, well, what now? We haven't got a Eurovision in May. What happens to the artists and the songs? Because for me, the contest's own rules basically say you can't have a song broadcast before September, the previous year of the contest.
And they all have.
And they straight away, all of those songs have broken the Eurovision's own rules. So what do you do? Do you relax the rule? Do you think they should relax the rule, perhaps? And we should just carry the songs forward to next year?
I think it probably should be open to the individual countries involved. If they want to carry their songs through and their artists through, that's fine. If they don't, they can pick new artists. I think it should be very much left up to the participating countries and the artists, because, you know, who knows what's going to be happening in a year? The artists might be in a very different place and not wanting to do Eurovision.
True. Absolutely true. So we don't know if, you know, people are going to be up for it. They may want to pick a different song. Now that, you know, you've seen what the competition is like, you might think, I need something different. Because you know,
yeah,
the whole thing was yes, we all know the songs now, but now we have the full set of songs. We know what our competition is, so if we have an opportunity to change it if we're not forced to. I believe at the moment nothing has actually been set in stone.
No, it's as the situation is very fluid, Gary.
I believe the EBU said they're going to have like a heads of delegation and a reference group meeting to discuss what to do. And I don't know. I think it would be highly unlikely for the EBU to actually impose a ruling that said basically you must carry the artist forwards or the songs forward to next year.
I think you'd be more inclined to see them issue a ruling saying you must have all new songs.
Yeah, that is potential. Same artists, but you must go and pick new songs. But that has a massive impact on national finals season for some broadcasters, I think.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that a lot of these broadcasters are commercial stations. And so if it's a highly popular program, they can get a lot of advertising revenue off, you know, this multi-week event of picking a Eurovision song.
Yeah.
If it is stripped down to let's pick a new song for this entry, for this performer, what, you can't string that out over 6 or 7 weeks, surely. That's a one-nighter. That's a one-nighter, and you may not get the same ratings that you would have got for a full set of shows, which means your advertising revenue drops, and commercial stations are not going to like that.
Nope.
So it's incredibly difficult. But we have had some countries already making some offers, shall we say, and some statements. So Greece, Stefania, I believe it's. I want to call her Stefania, but apparently it's not Stefania, I believe. From Greece, she is coming back for 2021, and she's just going to play. She says we've got even more time to grow and shine. We've also got the Netherlands, Jean-Gu McCroy, also says I'm back. I'm going to do 2021. Spain as well have also said, yep, we are going to, we have invited our artists to come back and represent us for next year and just carry it forward. Estonia, so this is Esti Lau, have said to Uku, we'll give you a pass straight through to the semi-finals if you like. What? What? Oh, great. I can go straight through to the semis. Yay. Not even the final. What? Oh. But you know what? He's taking it with good grace. He's gone. He said he's definitely going to accept. So we will see him in Esti Lau 2021. So that's kind of who's made the offers already to their existing artists. The UK. Do you think the UK will... extend the offer?
So that I don't know.
I've half a mind that the BBC is like, this is brilliant. It means we don't have to do any work on Eurovision until like literally next May. We don't have to engage and try and, with a record company, try and find another artist, find a song, shoot a video, blah, blah, blah. We can just rock up in Rotterdam next May and shove him out there.
Do you know, you might be right there, actually, because I think in some corners of the BBC, there's probably an element of disdain for Eurovision.
Yeah, I do think so. It may not have massive love in some areas of the corporation, but it's incredibly cheap television for them and it gets good ratings. So for that reason alone, they'd be very silly to drop it. But I do think they almost resent having to put the time and the effort and the resources into picking an entry. I'm sure if they thought they could get away with just, you know, screening the contest and not having a UK competitor, maybe they'd do it. But I don't think it would. It's not workable because I think the audiences perhaps would drop and interest would tail off if there wasn't a UK entry to kind of get behind.
Definitely. Because I think even if most people think, oh, it's Eurovision, isn't it? Oh, it's a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
People still want to see, you know, how the UK entry does.
Absolutely. Personally, and I'm not being nasty, no shade here, but I'm hoping we move on. From, I didn't particularly think the song was anything special. The artist, I wish him well. I'm sorry he's not had his chance to shine and prove us all wrong on the Eurovision stage. But you've got 12 months, BBC, now, an extra 12 months. Rip up the rule book, start again, look for something else, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But obviously, at the moment, the BBC's in full-on, almost war mode with the schedules being ripped up and special programmes being put on and stuff like that. So they have other things on their minds at the moment. I think the most interesting comment from a country I've seen so far is our favourite one, which is Sweden and Christer Björkman.
How much do you want to throw him under a bus?
Oh, so I did put on our show plan that Christer throws the man was under the bus as the next talking point. So he's, and I quote, he said, "It is very sad for all the artists who now do not get the chance to compete. And of course, I especially feel for the Mammas who must not stand on the Eurovision stage. It is also very unfortunate for the 64-year-old tradition is now broken." Which is true, because the contest has never taken place.
Never not taken place. Yeah.
Exactly. We've had, missiles dropping, near Israel 2 weeks before the contest. We've had unrest in Ukraine, all kinds of turbulence happening in regions and areas, and financial crises happening. The Eurovision was a constant. It brought everybody together, and it has never missed a beat. So this is why it's so doubly strange. But anyway, back to Christer. So I read that as, sorry, Mamas, you had your shot. It's not gone to plan. Try again next year if you want.
But yeah.
No guarantees. So
I think,
it
comes back to what you were saying about how the selection process is such a big money spinner for national TV stations, and Melody Festivalen is a massive money spinner, isn't it, for SVT?
I believe so, yes. They do get some corporate sponsorship, even though there's no advert breaks on it. But you do see the kind of sponsorship bumpers at the end.
Yeah.
So it's a six-week programme which attracts something like 70% of the TV audience in Sweden. It's massive. So it's a real big deal. And if there was just a case of let's give the Mamas a free ticket for next year, and we just pick another song for them, as we said earlier, you'll get 1 week out of that. And that's a massive chunk of revenue that's gone. A suggestion that I did hear, I think I read on Twitter, which sounded quite interesting, was, well, let the Mamas get the ticket, and yes, let's pick them a song, and you could do a week on that. But how about we do a classic Melfest season, almost a best of the fest?
Right, yeah.
Hint, listen to our podcast.
I was going
to
say, trademark that, Gary.
And somebody saying, well, could we, next year, for maybe the other 5 weeks of the competition, gather a load of classic Melfest artists who are up for it and say, do you fancy competing again, singing your old songs, your classics, and we'll vote you through over 4 weeks, and we'll have week five as like a final, and we'll declare a classic Melfest winner for 2021. I think that could be a really interesting idea, because as shown by the Hall of Fame that Melfest did this year, there's clearly a great love for some old Melfest songs throughout the years, not just the Eurovision entries, but songs that never made it past the national final stage. So I'd be totally up for that. I'm like, get Linda Bengtzing back to sing Alla Flicka. Do it.
You do like Linda, don't you?
I'm still not over it. So I would love for that to be happening. But I understand that they will just say sorry to the Mamas and we're just going to crack on next year and carry on. At the very least, I would hope that they offer them, same as Estonia's done, offer them a slot in one of the semis. Let them compete again. Definitely. Automatic pass. Don't let them go straight to the final if you don't want to. Or, say automatic finalist. We'll have a 13-song final instead of a 12-song final. What's an extra 3 minutes? Come on.
Yeah.
They deserve it. But this is all early days. We're going to find out, over the coming months and stuff as we get through this, all of this will become clear. So, any alternatives, do we think? So I've seen something from, I believe it was a German television executive, apparently. ARD is Thomas Schreiber, has hinted, apparently, and I'm looking on weeweeblogs.com here, a slight plug for them if you want to catch up on all your Eurovision news. They're a really good resource. They're saying...
Oh, excellent news site for it.
He's saying that maybe something could be done in May as a replacement. I'm just having a look to see what it says. He said, he told some German Eurovision fans, we will let you know as soon as possible whether there will be a Europe-wide offer from the EBU for all 41 countries that would have taken part in the ESC this year. He says, if this isn't possible, a German channel, Das Öster, I think it is, will instead broadcast a Eurovision evening.
Oh.
So that could be quite interesting, couldn't it? You know, we hit May the 16th and we have another show. We have something different. We still, you know, because we've got, there's a four-hour black hole at the moment in everybody's TV schedule. So it was going to be broadcast.
That's true.
So could we come together as, you know, as Europe on that night and do something? Could we do maybe, you know, classic, we'll go back to classic again, classic Eurovision performances, satellite broadcast in from each country, or even just an evening of classic Eurovision clips or something like that?
I was thinking an evening of classic Eurovision, you know, all the classic winners, classic entrants, all, you know, let's wheel out Lordi again, you know. Maybe, you know, ABBA have reunited, haven't they, sort of, for this thing that they might be doing at some point.
Oh, how long have they been promising that?
Get them on stage, get them singing Waterloo on stage. That'd almost be better than Eurovision itself, getting ABBA on stage again.
I mean, if we can't get people to TV studios to do it because of, you know, what's happening still, if there's still lockdowns, fine. Get out the tapes, wheel them out, piece it together, and let's have an evening's entertainment for Europe. Because we've already talked about this, haven't we? Because normally we would have a bit of a party, you'd come down here.
We
normally do a special radio show, we do 2 hours of classic hits.
Yeah.
And then we then basically sit down 4 hours watching the show. It's a massive evening for us.
Yeah.
And we do our
own
voting and stuff, and there's loads of buffet, and it's brilliant. But we've kind of said, you know, well, we still want to do something on the night.
Definitely. I think we really should try to commemorate it somehow.
Yeah. However that turns out to be.
Yeah, even if we have to Skype into each other.
Yeah, we'll do it. We will. In fact, there is already talk of this weekend. By this weekend, I mean, because we're recording this on the 19th of March, the 21st, Saturday the 21st, somebody on Twitter is trying to get something going to say, let's have a Eurovision watch-along. You know, we'll all hit play at the same time on Saturday night on a particular contest, which they have yet to decide. And let's watch it together and let's comment and let's, you know, across social media, let's come together watching this event, which I think is a really nice thing to do.
I've seen that actually advertised for a few things. I've seen one of the contributors for Doctor Who magazine doing the same thing for Doctor Who episodes. They're starting with the Day of the Doctor this Saturday.
Oh, excellent.
So, like, bring people together, you know, if they can't meet in person, bring them together virtually.
Yep, that's it. A watch along.
Exactly.
So that could be quite fun. I certainly think that people will do something on Eurovision night. And we should do our best to celebrate these artists that were picked, because then they're not going to get their moment this year. Even if it was just, let's run all of the entries on the Saturday night. Let's have a special program where we present the class of 2020 and said, this is who you should have been seeing tonight live on stage. We can't do that, but we still want you to hear these songs and these amazing artists, and you might find something that you like. That would be a perfect evening for me, I think, is I mean, okay, it would take ages. If you've got 41 songs at 3 minutes a pop, I appreciate it is over 2 hours, and that's just running the videos back to back. But it would be lovely if we could do something like that, maybe mixing with some classic stuff. And that would certainly fill 4 hours.
Certainly.
So, yes, it's still very early days. We're recording this literally the day after the announcement's been put out. We shall keep an eye out on what's happening over the coming weeks and indeed the coming months, because we've just no idea what's going on, do we?
None at all.
But do keep listening to our regular show, Midday, on reachandair.com for not often heard with myself and Mark, and we'll keep all up to date with the latest news from Eurovision land. Plus, we'll be digging out some fantastic tunes from other places as well, won't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. We do hope you'll join us for another pod sometime soon. I'm sure we'll do something sometime.
Oh, at some point.
Yes.
We've both got quite a bit of time in our hands at the moment.
True. Until then, stay safe and wash your hands. It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.